The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning on Thursday, April 17th, already past the midpoint of April here. Time's flying fast. Got a great program here for you today. We have Patrick Cavey. He's a city councilor for Ward 5 here in the city of Pittsfield, and we're going to have a great and wide-ranging discussion with Patrick about everything going on in Ward 5 and the city of Pittsfield, and maybe even wider than that. Who knows where the conversation will go. Looking forward to the conversation that we'll have this morning with Patrick. And first, let's get to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us today. From the National Weather Service.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny this morning, then clearing. Night is cool with highs in the mid-50s. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, cold with lows in the upper 20s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, diminishing to around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Friday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 60s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, so we've got a brighter, sunnier day, a little windy out there. I do hear that Saturday we're going to reach 70. That's kind of crazy considering how cold and snowy it was yesterday. But that is April, and we'll, like everything, get through it. And pretty soon it'll be May, and we'll be complaining about how hot it is. So enjoy the spring weather while you can. All right. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, our sister station. And thanks to everybody listening here this morning. Good morning, Patrick Cavey. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. Considering the early hour that it is, the Thursday and Friday mornings are always shifted a couple hours earlier for me so I can get in and do this show. But I do enjoy it. How about you? Getting up early is okay with you?
It's okay with me. I mean, we were talking earlier, though, about the weather and how I have to wear a sweater in the morning and then take it off after with a button up because it's 30 now, it'll be 60 later.
Yeah, you do have to sort of, pick your clothes for that eventual unraveling later in the day, right? You got to start out for cold and get warmer later on.
Exactly.
Yeah. You are now in your third term.
I am
as
in my third term.
Pittsfield City Councilor. How's
yes,
that going?
It has its ups and downs. I obviously enjoy it or I wouldn't continue to do it, but I would say we have more good days than bad days.
Yeah. Well, it is a lot of work, and a lot of the work people don't see, especially for a ward counselor behind the scenes. People see, of course, what they see on city council nights, and maybe if they watch some of the subcommittee meetings on PCTV or they go to the meetings themselves, they'll see what happens in front of the camera. But a lot of the work for a ward counselor, I would imagine, goes on behind the scenes, dealing with constituents and the issues that they bring to their city councilors, right?
Exactly. I mean, I'd say the vast majority of what we do is behind the scenes, whether it's answering our phone or whether it's emailing people back. And I guess the main topic we talk about, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on in the show, is the roads, potholes, different types of infrastructure. But those are all things I love to talk about. Yeah. So it works well for me.
And I would imagine as a ward counselor, those are the things that that people see right outside their windows or underneath the wheels of their cars. Those are things that hit them every single day. So, of course, those are going to be near and dear to their hearts. Before we get into some of those topics, give us an idea of what Ward 5 in Pittsfield is, sort of where the boundaries are and what are the big landmarks, schools, parks, things like that.
So it's the bottom southwestern corner of the city. It's actually large when you think about the size of the other wards. So a ward has two precincts in it. Each precinct has 3,000 people, so a ward has 6,000. You could fit Ward 2, which is like the Tyler Street area, or Ward 3, which is Elm Street, both of those wards inside my ward because we have Bosque, for example, we have Wild Acres, we have the airport, we have a lot of trees. We live in the trees out in Ward 5. so out in West Pittsfield. I actually only have Stearns in my ward for schools, but the kids in my ward go to Stearns, Egremont, and Crosby. They also go to Reed and Herberg and Taconic and PHS.
Yeah.
So my boundaries are over near Pomeroy with Ward 4, and then I head out towards Outer West Street. So Fort Hill, Gale, Old Farm Lane, the last street in Woodmont, which actually I have to drive through Ward 6 to get to, so a little silly. But the way that the wards are made, they're made with help from the city clerk and the secretary of state, and they follow either main roads, train tracks, or rivers. So, like, one of my borders is Pomeroy Ave. The other one is Lilybrook out in West Pittsfield. And then I have everything in between.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, sort of it has quite a bit of rural characteristic to it.
Yep.
Historically speaking, I've obviously...
The Shakers.
The Shakers, Route 20, I think of that whole area there and into the south of the city as well.
Well, it's fascinating because you have streets over like Wendell Bartlett, over the whole South Street corridor. You can see kind of when that was developed. And then as you go out on Barker, West Housatonic, you can see when the different streets were kind of sold off and when they were built based on the style of home. And I find that fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot of history in Pittsfield, especially having been around for a couple hundred years and thinking of the sort of center of the city and the oldest districts. And then, you know, you think about, like, for instance, here we are in Ward 3, the old Yankee Orchards, which, of course, now is a residential area. But I'm sure, you know, 50, 60 plus years ago had a very different characteristic to it than it does today.
I would guess some type of apple tree.
You would think, right? Lots of them. I wasn't here for that, but yeah, that's what I would expect. And a lot of Pittsfield has experienced changes and growth like that. Great. So that kind of gives us an idea of where, if people are listening, what Ward 5 is and who you represent. So let's talk about some of those nitty-gritty issues that ward councilors always deal with. Potholes, road repair. Let's start with that because it is spring season. The asphalt plant is now open, as I spoke with the commissioner about a few weeks ago. I think when I was speaking with him, it hadn't quite opened yet.
I think it opened on the 5th.
Yeah.
It was the first weekend of April.
Yeah. And, of course, that's something that the city can't control. So before that plant opens, if there are potholes, which, of course, this year there were quite a few potholes in, let's say, the month of February into March, there's really not a lot you can do with those potholes. You can patch them with some what they call cold patch, but that never really lasts very long, right? And
right.
So everyone's sort of waiting for the moment where you can get out and start at least keeping, you know, people's cars safe when they're driving down the road and not having the huge craters.
Exactly. I mean, there is a plant that's outside of Albany, but it's more expensive for us to get the product. So we won't use that unless we absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely nice. I mean, driving by the plant on my way here this morning. But as far as potholes are concerned, so if you see a pothole, call me, text me, email me, or if you want to submit it on your own, we have an app called PitSmart.
Mm-hmm.
So take a picture of the pothole. It'll geotag the location, send it on to Highway. When they get into their office in the morning, they have this machine that just prints out basically a list of where they have to go for the day. But as far as roadwork's concerned, since I've been the counselor in 5, we've had more roadwork done than my predecessors in the past, except for when neighborhoods were being built. And we've had more roadwork in that portion of town than other portions of town, but also being so rural and having such long roads, it costs a little bit more to take care of our roads and maintain them out in 5. But
and we do have a lot of roads in Pittsfield. We have, 200 miles or lane miles or something like that.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. And, you know, that's very expensive to keep up, to maintain.
Well, it's extremely expensive. And one thing that I kind of think about is when the city had a larger population, we built these neighborhoods farther out. We built these long, expansive roads. So think about West Street. We built West Street out. But if all of those homes were closer to the city, it would cost us less to maintain that road and all the infrastructure that's underneath it. So you had said earlier, people notice the roads. It's the first thing they see. I mean, when you're out and about, it's what you interact with, I guess, the most. But people don't think about the infrastructure under the road. So water is also really important. Our sewer services. So we have water and sewer, which is a service that some of our surrounding communities don't have. But if you're thinking about roads, one question I get this time of the year every single year since I've been on the council is how do we pick what roads we resurface?
So it's a good question.
There's a pavement condition index, so PCI. It's an index 0 to 100. Basically, we have a contractor who goes around. It looks like a Google car, laser system on top. They scan our roads. They scan all the cracks, the bumps, the potholes. They take photos of it. They scan the easements. They give us a rating on every road every February to March, and then we sit down and we look at that rating, and normally the roads that are around a 30 or 40, so poor condition roads.
So 100 being better, zero being, you know, dirt road.
Exactly. Yeah. And what we're resurfacing right now are right around 30. We're ranked overall closer to 60, but we target roads that are right around 30, sometimes 40, but we also look at whether or not it's a dead end or not. So if it's a dead end, it would have less priority than a road that gets more traffic, whether there's children, a school, an elderly population, and they don't have sidewalks and they need a place to walk.
Well, dead end probably also gets less traffic, too, which means maybe less wear and tear on that road over the course of time from the last time that it was resurfaced.
Right. I mean, if you think about South Street, which is being redone this year. South Street was redone about a decade ago, but the streets off of South Street had been done 30 years ago. South Street does 40,000 cars a day. I guess in the summer, a little bit less than that in the off season, but the side streets obviously don't do nearly that, and they hold up for longer. But
got to be one of the busiest roads in the entire county, that South Street coming up into Park Square.
It is. It is the busiest road in the county. And there was a study that came out a couple years ago that was done by the state, and it looked at 351 municipalities, so every city and town across the Commonwealth, and it found that they were on average underfunding communities by $400,000, but we were the outlier at over $3 million. And I don't know if it's just because we're the farthest west city and, you know, we really do sometimes get forgotten by Boston, but our commissioner went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth the state over this, and now they're resurfacing all of Route 7 for us. So South Street, First Street, North Street, all the way to the Lanesboro border.
Yeah, and that'll all be this year.
This year.
In different sections, right?
Right. So we'll start with South Street because I am persistent. And then we'll move along, and I'll give Councillor Warren some road work up in Ward 1.
Yeah, and, you know, South Street, I think, objectively speaking, has got to be, you know, of the major routes right now, the one in the worst disrepair, probably secondarily going to East Street near the William Stanley Business Park in that area. Of course, that's also being done this year from what the commissioner tells us on this program. Right?
Yep. South Street's technically our jurisdiction up until, after South Mountain Road, so South Mountain Road Inn. But East Street, the portion of it that hasn't been resurfaced, is a state highway. Mm-hmm. And they had originally planned on doing it in 2023. So the city had resurfaced the other parts of East Street kind of to connect it all. So we had a year of road work, and they were delayed. Mm-hmm. And the road is rough. I drove over it this morning just to see. So before we resurface the road, same thing with the state, we look at the infrastructure under the road. Mm-hmm. So same thing on South Street. You'll notice all the cuts in the road. It's because the water lines were upgraded. The bridges are going to be expanded at some point in the future, not with this resurfacing, but the water and gas lines all had to be upgraded in that entire corridor so that we don't have to cut into the road after. They're doing the same thing this morning on East Street. I drove by to check.
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense, too, right? If you know you're going to have to upgrade the utilities, whether they're gas lines, water lines, sewer lines, you're not going to want to do that 2 years after you do a major road resurfacing. It just makes people, you know, crazy when they see that. Like, they just did this road, and now they're ripping it up again.
The thought of it. It's happened since I've been on the council. It's happened twice, to my knowledge, and both times it's driven me absolutely nuts. But one of them was after there were some overpressurized gas lines in Eastern Mass. I don't know if you remember.
Right, yes.
There were some explosions. Yeah, it was really scary. But after that, the state changed the amount of pressure that goes through our gas lines. So some of our lines had to be upgraded, and one of the roads that needed to be upgraded was just resurfaced. But thankfully, in that instance, the gas company covered the cost.
Yeah. Well, and again, for a public safety issue like that, most people will give you a pass and say, okay, I get it. Definitely. And some of the infrastructure underneath Pittsfield's roads, I'm sure, and the commissioner has talked about this on this program many times. You know, we're looking at things that are 100 years plus old in some cases, right? Especially some of the older neighborhoods, water lines and sewer lines, which amazingly are still functioning pretty well. But, you know, you have breaks. You have things that happen. Unfortunately, a lot of times those breaks happen in January.
Yeah, right.
You know, the last moment that anyone wants to be out there fixing a water main break in freezing cold weather. But still, you know, these things require constant upgrades. Same thing with the roads. If we're talking about the roads that are out there now, if you stop maintaining the roads for a certain amount of time because budgetary concerns don't provide for it, you're just going to pay for that later, right?
Well, that's an incredible point, actually. So with the former mayor, the amount that was budgeted for our roads and the amount that we did was more than previous administrations. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it was hard to tell, and it's still hard to tell now that we're investing more in our roads because there was so many years of neglect. Mm-hmm. And there were so many years of us not doing any road work. I mean, back when I was still, I guess, in high school, but when you defer maintenance for even 4 years, for example, you have to catch up at some point. I mean, yeah. There was a year recently where we infused $7.5 million from our free cash into our roads just because the state of them. We need to get mm-hmm. them back up to where they are. And you had mentioned the amount of roads that we have. I mean, we were built out to be a bit larger of a city. So
right.
When you're built like that, you have to maintain it. And it unfortunately, it costs more money. And then with just since I've been on the council through COVID and then now with what we're seeing with inflation and everything else, the cost of asphalt has been up like 8%, 9%, 10% every year. So if we're budgeting the same exact amount of money each year, we're going to have to do a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less, unless we shore up some more funding.
Right. It's been an interesting time to be a city councilor here in Pittsfield during your tenure, having seen the things that you've seen, especially around the COVID pandemic. That was, I'm sure, way out of sorts in terms of what you had expected when you ran for council.
It was obviously nothing that any of us expected. And at the time, I was an operations manager at our hotel, too. So, I mean, the entire world got turned upside down for me. But I think it was probably the best learning curve that I could have ever had. Myself and Councilor Lampiazzi started the same term, and the two of us will talk about that. We had the most abnormal first term ever. But instead of us being new counselors walking in and everyone around us knowing what they're doing, we were new counselors walking in, and we didn't know how the system worked. So we were probably some of the most prepared to deal with what was going on around us because we didn't have the preconceived notions of how we do business in the past. And we ended up helping some of our colleagues who have been on for a decade at that time. I mean, especially with Zoom. I don't know if you remember our Zoom meetings that would go until 2 a.m, but you have to unmute every single person.
Oh, those were fun times. Yes,
fun.
Covering them was fun as well.
It was incredibly fun.
Patrick Cavey, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM and in Pittsfield, of course, and 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Patrick is the city councilor for Ward 5 here in the city of Pittsfield. The other big sort of public works issue that's happened in the last year under the new administration of Mayor Marchetti has been, of course, the change in trash and recycling that we've seen. And now that seems to be less of a front page issue for a lot of people. I think people have kind of gotten the hang of it by now. What's your impression? I know there were some hiccups in Ward 5 that you made some highlights of in city council meetings. So how is that going in Ward 5 now?
Well, with the trash plan, I wasn't not in support of it before it was implemented. Mm-hmm. I thought that the commissioner and the mayor actually tried to communicate what they were doing, and I understood the cost of it. So if we talk about rising costs, when I became a counselor in 2020, our costs for solid waste and curbside pickup, $1.2 million a line item, and recycling was $800,000, I believe. Mm. Recyclings came down significantly because we negotiate the cost for recycled goods at the MRF in Springfield, but our costs were about $5.4 million a year now, and people don't always know why that cost went up, so I think it's, I guess, important to say. I think it was 2021, the state outlawed burning of trash, mm-hmm. and the incinerator that's around the corner, well, that's their business. So, yeah.
And that was an aging plant at the time anyway that right. was kind of handed off from company to company. And it was almost like a hot potato. Nobody wanted to hold it. And then finally it was like, okay, this, you know, this got to go, and we're just going to level it, right, take it out, and it's going to be a transfer station. But that obviously affected how Pittsfield handled its trash and what it paid for and things like that. It was obviously going to effectuate some change down the line.
Well, that's the primary reason we really needed to change our system. Mm. That facility was illegal under state law. You're not allowed to make more landfills either, and we have landfills, but they're capped. So our option is to ship the trash, and you can't make a landfill in Massachusetts, so where does it go? Mm. So we ship our trash to New York, the two P's, so Poughkeepsie and Plattsburgh, which not the closest. So we have to pay by the ton per mile. So the more trash that we generate, and then the longer distance, so say we're going to Plattsburgh, it's an astronomical cost. Mm. And with this plan that we, the system with the carts that we have now, the savings were minuscule with the contract. They were said to be $80,000, but mm-hmm. if you think about the cost that our trash was going to go up if we didn't change anything,
right.
it's a significant decrease in our costs.
Yeah, and all costs go up and will go up. We don't know, you know, in the future what we're all going to be expecting for costs of things. And it's a very uncertain time, obviously, with things like that. But if you can at least make a change, you know, and that was a pretty major change for most people.
It was major.
It takes a lot to change a habit. And if you have a habit where you can drag just about anything you want down to the curb and it'll be gone by the time you get home. That is very different than having to really think about what you're going to throw away and what goes where.
Right. In recycling, I noticed. So our recycling rate was around 11% before we implemented the carts. Now it's around 20%. Mm. And also remember, so we negotiate the cost of those recycled goods. So when we were at about 11%, we were kind of breaking even with what the market was returning to us. So I guess the market's a bit more volatile now, but... if we continue on this trend of continuing to recycle, we'll continue to see savings in our costs. So I beg you all, I beg you, please, please, please recycle. If you are unsure of how to do it, reach out to me, reach out to the Department of Public Works. We would love to help you, love to teach you. I actually really like recycling. We put out significantly more recycling than we do trash every week.
Yeah. And you feel that Casella has worked out the bumps, some of the ones where streets weren't getting picked up and things like that.
Yeah, I was unsure how that happened. I know you heard our public discussions, but we had a lot of private discussions too. Mm-hmm. They would miss all of the side streets off of Barker, for example, but they'd get Barker, and I just couldn't figure out what was going on. So I started working with their fleet manager and said, maybe we'll just go through what streets are in the ward. We'll check them off each week as we go. And now every single week, being a little bit more of a micromanager than I like to, they send me a list of every issue they had on the route, everywhere they hit. So I can, at like 4:30 every Friday, I get an email, and I can look through and just check the list of streets and make sure they actually got there. And since we've been doing that, we haven't been seeing those issues anymore. Mm. So it looks like we've ironed it out. I don't want to.
I think it's
knock on wood.
It's probably made of wood.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Oh, maybe underneath.
Yeah. So, and you know, what a monumental task also to get everything perfect every single week to pick up trash and
recycle. It's a
massive
operation.
Right? So. Understandable that a change like that would no doubt bring a few bumps in the
Pickups,
road.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Overall, the rollout was good, though.
Yeah. Excellent. And then on to the North Street redesign, which is just starting to pick up a little steam. I know the city has put some plans out for review, and there's going to be some public hearings and things like that. What's your initial thoughts on looking at redoing North Street one more time?
I mean, it's our main street. It's kind of the heart of our little city. And right now, it does not look great. I had a resident reach out and say, I'm upset with the way North Street looks. There's potholes everywhere. The street is in horrible condition. And I had the conversation with them that we had probably 10 minutes ago about how a lot of the cuts in the road are different utilities being upgraded. Right. So
A pretty major one there right outside of Eagle Street, right?
And there's a lot of So that one right there is electrical. Yeah. So Eversource, through COVID, we saw office buildings in the area start to turn into residential housing. Mm. The Noda building is new residential housing. Mm-hmm. We're going to see residential housing at the Wright building.
Right.
So there will be more people on that grid. And with the way that technology is advancing, mm-hmm. we need more power in downtown, especially with the hospital being there, our emergency services. So
potentially charging electric vehicles downtown also, right? I mean, that's all going to take infrastructure to do.
I would really love to see that on Columbus Ave, mm-hmm. but we'll see how what funding we can get through grants and mm-hmm. Different environmental initiatives in the future, and what we could potentially do mm-hmm. to get that done on our own dime. But yeah. I think that would be something we'd fund through grants. Mm-hmm.
But all those utilities are underground there on North Street, so the yep. only way to fix them or upgrade them is to rip yep. up the road.
Yep, and like what I was saying with South Street we redid 10 years ago, so. Mm-hmm. It's in horrible condition, mm-hmm. and it was done 10 years ago. It has heavy, heavy traffic. North Street also has a significant amount of traffic, so yeah. we have to resurface it more often than some lower volume streets. Yeah. But with North Street, people obviously really dislike the bike lanes. We were all a little surprised at the bike lanes, too, in the very beginning, but I don't have anything against bike lanes. I like riding my bike, and I like being safe. Mm-hmm.
The cars need to know what to expect also, right? You know, when you're in a place like North Street, and previously when you had the two lanes in each direction, you inevitably had somebody trying to get around another car, right? That stopped for a pedestrian or a bike or something like that. And, you know, it just presents such a dangerous situation. I don't see North Street really ever going back to two lanes in both directions.
Well, so part of the reason... we received so much grant funding that first round where the bike lanes became the entire right traffic lane was because we had incidents with pedestrians and cyclists getting hit. Mm. And it was a higher per capita number than you saw in other communities across the Commonwealth. So the state said, here's $400,000, fix it.
Mm.
But I understand the confusion with the way that it's currently set up. I mean, I understand why cars are still driving in the bike lanes. I understand why people aren't sure where to turn. Mm-hmm. It's different, just like with the carts, and it's abnormal to see that large of a lane be used for bike lanes. So now that we're working with the state again and we've received grant funding, we have to keep the bike lanes because those need to be part of any road project you do if you want the grant funding.
Right.
But the way that the designs that we're looking at have, it just makes more sense. So you have mm-hmm. the sidewalk,
mm-hmm.
you would have a bike lane next to the sidewalk with a protected curb, then where you would parallel park and then where you'd drive. And there could potentially be new green belts in between the bike lane and the travel lane for traffic. There might not be. That's all up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So with these meetings, these public meetings we're going to have, I really, really hope people show up because we want to hear from you. We want to know what you want us to do with that street. I mean, we received a significant amount of grant funding, and we would like to know how you'd like us to allocate those funds.
Yeah. And yet when I'm sure some people will come to those meetings and say, put it back the way it was. It was always good. Why did we ever have to change it? I guarantee you're going to hear some of that.
Well, it's similar to the metered parking on North Street. So I know that people don't love metered parking. I mean, who likes to pay for parking, honestly? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have metered parking, we're not eligible for other grant funding from the state. So you have to have something driving revenue in order for you to get grant funding, for example, for the McKay Street garage. So our metered parking is the lowest we can charge you to meet that threshold. But unfortunately, we have to have it if we want to keep receiving these grants.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of free parking at the Berkshire Mall right now. So, I mean, you could always...
I had a dream,
right?
About the Berkshire Mall the other night, that it was back. but what I would really
more
like...
More like a fever dream, right?
It was a fever dream, definitely. Yeah. But it got me thinking about downtown Pittsfield, and this is something Mayor Tyer would say a lot. Downtown Pittsfield is kind of like a mall. So you have your different anchors, and then you have to fill in between. Mm. So think about it. At one end, you have the Colonial Theater. Then you have Barrington Stage in the center.
Yep.
You have Wacona Park at one end, mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll hear some news about that soon. You have the Hotel on North, which mm-hmm. is, I mean, I'm biased because I used to work there, but it's I think it's the coolest boutique hotel around. Mm. You have all these great anchors, Paul Rich and Sons. Mm-hmm. I mean, they take up a whole block, and it's an absolutely beautiful store, and they maintain it so well. And mm-hmm. then you have all these little places. I had someone who doesn't live in my ward. She's over in 4, but we were discussing Pittsfield. She came to me and said, you know, I'm feeling a little down about Pittsfield, and I just want to talk to you about downtown and what's going on. And when I explained to her that we're going to be redoing the road and changing the way that you get in and out of downtown, so with those protected bike lanes or wider sidewalks or whatever you all decide, between that and then the new development, so the Wright building finally being done, where Jim's House of Shoes was, I don't know if you've seen, it's gone.
Mm.
So that's going to be a larger building up.
Connected to the Wright building.
Yep.
Yeah.
And people are concerned about our occupancy, though. She was concerned about our occupancy. She was like, you know, I go down there at night. It seems like there's nothing going on. And I said, well, fortunately for us, there are more occupants than there were before COVID. But these occupants, some of them are more service-based. And that's okay. It's just it's a little more alive during the day when they're open from 10 to 4 instead of them being open late at night. I mean, obviously, I would love to see a resurgence of kind of some of the restaurants and the music scene and sure. all those things.
Yeah.
And I think we need that balance. Maybe we'll find that balance when the Wright building's open, mm-hmm. but.
No, we all have an idea of what a thriving downtown looks like, right?
Right.
And it's just a matter of putting the right puzzle pieces together. And sometimes that alchemy comes together and it works, you know. But it takes a lot of work, and it doesn't happen at the snap of a finger. People can't go back to the 1950s Pittsfield. It's that's not going to happen. We have to look forward in a
exactly.
lot of ways.
I mean, think about some of the things that I've been working on since I've gotten on the council that are just starting to come to fruition. I mean, the amount of time that other individuals had been working on Site 9. I mean, do you remember Site 9? Mm-hmm. It was that big cement. It looked like the surface of the moon.
Yes.
Over near General Electric, or I guess Sobic now. Mm-hmm. But now it's being redeveloped, and there's a manufacturer going in on one side. There's an office facility going in on the other. Even just with the grass, it looks so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at the parking lots next to there that are all being redeveloped in conjunction with mm-hmm. it. It's going to be a great project, but I remember meeting with our business manager about these things 5 years ago, and they were being worked on 5 years before that, and now we're finally seeing it. So government sometimes takes a long time.
It's a marathon for sure, and that's what we're looking at.
Right.
Patrick Cavey, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive, reached the top of the hour, and we will take that quick break to thank our underwriters and do an identification of the station, as we always do, and then we'll be back for part two with Patrick Cavey, the Ward 5 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying, anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. If you're an impulse shopper, practice the two-day rule. Instead of making that impulse buy when you first see it, leave it on the shelf. In 2 days, if you still need it, then consider going back to buy it. This Money Hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
All aboard!
Do you like hard rock and heavy metal music?
Oh, yeah!
Well, then join me here Friday nights from 8 to 10 for Wounded Radio. Every Friday night, I play 2 hours of the best music on the planet, from AC/DC to ZZ Top and everything in between.
This is going to be cool.
Want to hear a song on Wounded Radio? Request it on the Wounded Radio Facebook page. And join me here Friday nights at 8 for Wounded Radio.
Yeah!
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Well, welcome back to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, 88.1 WSBR in Lee. And we have Patrick Cavey here this morning. He is a Ward 5 City Councilor in the city of Pittsfield, and lots more to talk about with Patrick right after we do the weather forecast from the National Weather Service. Here it is.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny this morning, then clearing. Night is cool with highs in the mid-50s. Northwest wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, clear, cold with lows in the upper 20s. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour, diminishing to around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Friday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 60s. Southwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have your weather, and I do hear the 70s are calling, and they'll be here possibly on Saturday. So if you're looking for a day potentially to do some yard cleanup and things like that, that might be the day. You might want to think about that. There is, I think, going to be some rain also in there. So, well, we'll see. That's the day I'm going to plan to do it because I'm woefully behind on much of my yard cleanup this year, and I just maybe just not seeing it, you know, too much cold and snow a couple days ago and things like that. So I'm kind of holding off on it, but maybe I'll do it Saturday. All right. Patrick Cavey is here this morning, and thanks again for being here.
Thank you for
always
having
glad
me.
To have you. City Council dealing with some other issues, maybe more difficult issues in the city. The ordinance that was put forward and then unanimously declined was the one about median safety, essentially a panhandling ordinance. What was your position on that?
Well, so I voted to file that. And the reason I voted to file that is because the beginning of the ordinance starts with language that alluded to the idea that there was a safety issue that was becoming worse, and that we needed to make drivers and pedestrians in downtown safer by banning people from standing on medians and on certain sidewalks.
Ostensibly because somebody could get hurt is what the thought process is.
Right, so the thought is that it's somebody could potentially get hurt, but we were presented with data from the mayor's office and from the highway department, and I had an issue with the data because it listed a couple intersections and then it listed an entire district. So I didn't think the baseline for the data was accurate, since one of the points of the data had multiple intersections, then the rest of them were just single intersections. And then when we shared other data of intersections that weren't listed, they had more accidents and more issues with pedestrians. So if we were trying to make everything safer, it would make sense to also regulate, for example, not just the intersection of E Street and First Street, but the intersection of Fenn and First, which has significantly more accidents.
Mm.
So my concern with this ordinance was that it wouldn't hold up in court, and I still don't think it would have if it was passed. There were other communities that have written ordinances to curb panhandling, and when you mention panhandling in an ordinance, it's immediately illegal. You are infringing on someone's First Amendment right when you don't allow them to solicit on a public right of way. So our ordinance didn't mention panhandling. It mentioned median safety. And if you look at communities that have passed similar ordinances, just in the state of Massachusetts, for example, Worcester was the first to be sued. And their suit lost them over $500,000 in court. And the homeless individual that sued them, I guess, is in a much better place financially, but the city isn't. And that person can still go out and panhandle now if they want to. So the idea that we were going to potentially put forth a new law that the ACLU is already saying they were watching and they were going to intervene over. The idea that we would have multiple lawsuits and we would have to pay to go to court and then potentially lose in court, and that I would have to sit in an executive session and decide how much we're settling for with the rest of the council, the mayor, and the director of finance and our lawyer. It just wasn't the best idea. The only community that... I shouldn't say the only, but the community in Massachusetts that I noticed that was not sued with a similar ordinance was the city of Framingham. So I called the city solicitor in Framingham and I asked her why they weren't sued. And she had said, well, we have specific data showing that there were incidents with pedestrians and with vehicles, and the pedestrian was panhandling. So we have evidence to back up that at these certain intersections it was unsafe.
Like, you'd hate to have someone in the city actually, you know, perish as a result of something like that. And there are issues around it. So are there other solutions that could be explored that you know of to help with the situation, or maybe even the root cause of what's happening? Or will this just be something that Pittsfield will always have to deal with?
Well, so... I think that there are many, many ways we can work upstream. I mean, with what we were going to do, our police department specifically said there's no data to support this, and that they don't believe that the ordinance would have made it so there would be less crashes at those intersections. But if we work upstream with unhoused folk, which we've already done, $8 million of ARPA funds went to working upstream. One of the things that we've already done was help fund a larger homeless shelter. So prior to COVID, we had a homeless shelter that had 12 beds. Now we have one that has over 40. We did pass-through grants for transitional housing. So not homeless shelters, but the step in between a homeless shelter and affordable housing. They're very, very affordable apartments. So they still have to pay rent. It's just a low amount that they can handle. But the facilities have mental health services. They have workforce development services. They give these individuals an address. So I think about the amount of resumes that I've had to look through and the amount of people I've had to interview. And I've actually never interviewed an unhoused folk, but... I know that some people, when they are interviewing people, will get uncomfortable if there's no address on your resume because they don't know, do you actually even live in the city we're in?
I mean, there are definitely some disadvantages to just jumping back in, let's say, to what most people would call sort of normal living, you know, having a job and having a residence. And it doesn't just happen overnight, right? And just there are so many barriers up for people to get back into that where there's no simple solution to it.
Right, exactly. And homelessness, I mean, I don't like making assumptions about people, but there are many different things that lead to someone being unhoused. I mean, we're seeing just rising costs everywhere. The market here up 60-ish percent, at least in my neighborhood. And you're watching houses that were going for $300,000 going for $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 now, which is... completely. It's not something that I would expect in 5 years.
Right. But people's tax bills reflect it as well. Everybody knows it.
Right. People's tax bills reflect it. And it also, I mean, if we think about your taxes and how they continue to go up every year, our insurance costs for the city. So school side has what, about 1,600 employees, maybe 1,500 now. City side, 325 to 350. Health insurance. So health insurance, the biggest driver of our budget. We were told it potentially could go up 17% this year, and that's multi-million.
Yeah. And if we were all only getting 17% raises every year, there would be no problem.
Yeah, well, that's also another driver of the budget, which I think people do deserve raises, but we have something called COLA. So it's a law that's in place where we have to give you an increase based on the inflation from the previous year. So the years through COVID, we saw very, very high inflation. So there was a year that the raises were 7.5%, and it was directly tied to COLA. We saw under this last administration, inflation get down to 2%, so smaller raises on the city side. But with all of the uncertainty and the tariffs and just the economic impact that the policies that the federal government is doing, just what it has to do with how we manage our budget, it's going to cost us. I mean, it's part of the reason our insurance cost is going up. It's the reason that next year our mandated raises with that COLA will be higher.
Right. Well, it makes it hard to plan, too. And we're getting close to budget season here, and the city council will be soon enough embroiled in that whole process. But I would imagine it's very difficult to know, okay, well, we're trying to plan for something that's happening a year and a half from now. Basically, the budget will run that long. Who knows what kind of situation we'll be in by that time?
Well, I'm thinking with the way that our director of finances and the way that our mayor, as our current mayor, will be probably a little conservative this year like we were last year, just because there is that uncertainty. And you need to make sure that you're providing services. So think about when you go to a restaurant or you go and get a coffee, you're paying for a service with your hard-earned money, and you want to see a product returned to you that gives you value. So it's hard sometimes to translate how the city is giving people value when their property taxes continue to go up.
Right.
But
It definitely makes it hard, and everybody is stretched. Again, everyone's own health insurance goes up, those same rates, car insurance and things like that, things that basically you can't control. And it just makes sort of the ordinary things that you normally would do much more difficult.
Right? Exactly. I mean, if the base of everything across the board, whether it be for your personal finances or for the city, continues to go up every year 10% when it used to go up 2%, it definitely has an impact on what you're able to do.
And yet you still have to provide clean water, good roads, police force, fire.
We do.
All those things. And those are things that people expect from their local government. And those will continue, hopefully, as we move forward. Let's talk with Patrick Cavey here about the schools, because that has been certainly in the news, dominating some of the headlines in the last 3 or 4 months with what's happened at Pittsfield High School. And now, of course, multiple leaders in the Pittsfield Public Schools are departing. There will be a change management there very soon as well. You were outspoken during the last changeover of school superintendent back in 2021. Looking forward, because that's all we can do is to look forward right now, what kinds of changes would you like to see with a new superintendent and some new leadership in the school department?
It's a big question.
It is.
I have many thoughts, though. So I think it's great that we'll have a new superintendent. I think it's needed with the way that the community is feeling right now. And I think that people have maybe lost a lot of trust and a lot of that good feeling they had towards our school district. I mean, we were just starting to see more kids' school choice into Taconic than we could hold. We were seeing our numbers with school choice start to get a little bit better. Will this help that? Maybe not. We're going to have to build that trust back. And I think that there are certain people who are in our school department right now who would be more than qualified to take the lead on this. But I also think that it would be very helpful with everything that's happened and with gaining back the public's trust to get someone from outside of the district to come in and take on that role. I mean, it's a really hard job being the superintendent. It's
similar of any school district, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's similar to being the mayor. It turns into your entire life. Mm-hmm. And
there's a significant amount of burnout, I might also note, right, that superintendents don't last very long anymore. It used to be that they would last a decade or more. You'd know who the school superintendent was because that's who your superintendent is. And now if it's 2 years, 3 years, that's a long time.
Well, schools are changing quickly. The way that education works is changing quickly. I mean, I was in high school 15 years ago, and the way that we did things then and the way that they do education now. So I was at Taconic on Tuesday meeting with an administrator about a few different issues and then what our future holds and how we're going to get through it. And then I'm going to PHS today to work with some kids on their passion projects. Mm. So a senior project that I work on with them each year. But when I was in school, there were significantly more kids. So my graduating class was probably twice the size of the one that you'll see at Taconic this year. And I'm thinking in 15 years, we've had significantly less kids attending our schools, but also the law has changed. And with different IEPs and different kids that have different needs, the kids that have needs, there's more and more of them in the district. Mm-hmm. And we legally have to give them a education that the state of Massachusetts says is what we have to mandate.
Right.
And that costs significantly more, even though there's less kids. They're higher need children than when I was in school. The world is quite a bit different. I mean, we were talking about the mall earlier. On Friday nights, we would go to the mall. Now you look around and what are the kids, what do they have to do aside from go to school, sports, the internet?
Yeah.
It's completely different now than even 15 years ago. And I think that new leadership is needed to, one, get us through this, get us over this hump, give trust back to the community and show the type of transparency I think they expect from us and help us move forward in a way that will make people proud to send their kids to our school district and make kids stop school choicing out to the districts around us.
Well, I think it's fair to say that we have some great schools in the city of Pittsfield.
We do.
And they have some significant challenges, right?
Right.
I mean, I think both of those statements can be true. It doesn't mean that you throw the baby out with the bathwater either, right?
Right.
That you have the ability of working on your strengths and then also working on things that need work.
Right. We definitely need to change some policies. And this has been really eye-opening, at least to the council, as to what's going on in our schools. You know, the school committee is the elected body that has the jurisdiction over our schools, technically, even
right.
though I spend time in our schools. They're the ones that have the say. But with our positions, we can hopefully push them in a way that will get some of the council's goals across them, too. Not to give you a spoiler alert about Tuesday's meeting coming up, but you'll probably see something about the schools on our next council agenda.
Hmm. Well, there's a cliffhanger for you.
Yep.
If you're into watching city council meetings and waiting for those agendas come out. Actually, today is Thursday, so it's pretty close to that agenda. You should probably
be
looking
afternoon.
For that. I guess we won't get the full story here from Patrick Cavey, but he's given you a note to look for. And certainly, you know, there is some influence that the city council can have. But as you mentioned, the school committee, as an elected body, they have the full control over once the city council has approved the mayor's budget, which has the number, right, that the dollar amount that the schools have to work with for the coming year. They take it from there. That is their that's their realm. That's their job. And really, specifically, the superintendent and the budgeting folks there in the central administration. They handle where that money goes. So, you know, if there are cuts to the school department, they may or may not be in the areas that, let's say, the city council wants them to be.
That's a great point. I mean, say we specifically think that there's a line item that's over budget. we're not allowed to tell them to cut from that line item. We can just take a number off of the top and hope that they take it from that line item. Mm. There have been times when they've taken it from other places, you know? Yeah. And then we have more discussion about it and more discussion about it and hope that it doesn't happen again. Mm-hmm. But I like to think that the majority of the people in the city like to work together and want to work together. So hopefully, moving forward, the school committee and whomever the interim superintendent is and the future superintendent take what we have to say into account and take it seriously.
Yeah. What's your impression of having an interim superintendent, which it looks like that's the way this is going to go? You'll have a person basically in there for about a year while the school committee finds a new superintendent for the district. And while that's happening, there are two kind of major things that are being considered. One is a reconfiguration of the middle schools into a 5-6 school and a 7-8 school, potentially. That really hasn't been completely worked out yet. And then also, of course, the school building project with Crosby and Conti potentially being on one new building on the Crosby campus. Those are two pretty major things that the school is dealing with. You know, do you feel like an interim superintendent is going to be able to shepherd that through?
Yes. So we are working on a pretty massive restructuring of our school district. It's necessary. Mm-hmm. So when we were discussing earlier, my graduating class being twice the size, and that was 15 years ago, we have to change what we're doing. We have to adapt with the times. Our buildings are older. Mm-hmm. We have two open classroom style elementary schools, which I honestly can't even wrap my mind around. I was such a hyper kid that
I attended one, so I have some direct experience with that, and they present some real challenges for students and teachers.
Yep. It would have been extremely, extremely hard for me as a student, and I speak to the teachers who are there, and they're having a great time listening to the teacher next to them teach a different lesson at the same time when they're speaking.
I always liked it when another classroom was watching a film while I was trying to take a test.
distractions. That's funny. But to answer your questions about, first, I guess, the interim superintendent, like I had said previously, there are a lot of qualified people who work in our district. There are some who are leaving, and that's their own choice. But the people who are in their positions now, any number of them who could step up to this position, have been part of this process for so long that they know how this restructuring is working. And I think we'll be okay with one of the few of them steering the ship until we find a new superintendent. But to the point that I had made earlier, I think that it is important to find someone with a fresh perspective and fresh eyes so that they can come into our district and really see what's going on. I mean, sometimes when you are in the same space every day for a decade or two, you start to not see as clearly as you would when you walk in with fresh eyes. So I think it'll be important. And obviously, hiring someone at that caliber, they'll be able to take over the rest of that work. With something we kind of touched on earlier, school choice. So Taconic now has kids school choicing into it, which is incredible, but it's at capacity.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic programs at Taconic, and we just had four students on last week to talk about Skills USA and the kinds of things that they do.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I was with them on Tuesday. I just pop in, and I like to see what they're up to. Some of them will play pranks on me and mess around with me. There's a tripwire in one of the shops that you walk through, and it sets off an alarm. It's really fun.
so they saw you coming, basically, is what you're saying.
yeah, the kids are funny. But Taconic is an incredible school. It has a lot of incredible programs. PHS is actually building out a couple programs, science and engineering type programs, too. And I think it's what's necessary. I mean, the first time I ran for office, I'm college educated, but I don't think everyone should be. I think that the trades are extremely important. We're lacking people in our trades right now, and we need to make sure that if a student is not going to college, they have a direct bridge from our programs to a local advanced manufacturer. Mm. And as of right now, our shops at Taconic have co-op partners, so we're really fortunate to have built those programs.
Yep. As we said, it's a great program. We have some great schools, and we do have some challenges, and those will find their way through, I think, eventually. Patrick Cavey, I want to say thank you for being here. We ran out of time. I had so much more on the list. We'll get to it.
I'll come
next
back.
Time. Again, Patrick Cavey, Ward 5 City Councilor here in the city of Pittsfield, was here for the whole hour this morning on Morning Drive. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate
me.
It. And folks, we will see you again tomorrow. Brian will be here this tomorrow to host. I forget his guest, but it's a great show as always. We'll see you then. Get in my car, drive.